Bother you?
What?
Walking around in circles.
Of course, atomic force microscopes are hardly a dime a dozen, nor are they small nor inexpensive enough to be built into wristwatch-sized players for these tiny new CDs. But we once said exactly the same thing about lasers, which once took up whole laboratories. Indeed, companies such as IBM are busily working to produce an atomic force microscope on a chip, which would do for Chow's idea what the laser diodes did for CDs.
Apparently, a child born out of wedlock in her ancestors, and Mengele had to write some sort of document to overcome any talk that this relative might have had some Jewish blood.
Took you into the forest and how he related to the plants around him.
Well, he took me into the forest and began to show me the many uses they have for plants, not just medicines, but drinks, but vines to make ropes or hammocks, plants used by his ancestors to survive when they'd escaped into the jungle to escape the overseers. And it was really an eye-opener because I began to see that this wasn't something just beautiful, but really something that could provide all the sources to make life possible.
Welcome.
Thank you. I don't have a question. I'm a Colombian woman raised in Latin America, and I just wanted to say how much I identify with Camille Paglia without probably having the same upbringing.
Well, thank you.
I'm surprised that a lot of middle-class American women think that they're so lucky and that they have it so much better than the rest of the women in the world. And talking about middle-class women and being in contact with let's say, Colombian and a lot of other Latin societies, I think that middle-class women have it so tough. And I think that they have reached the point where they have the worst of both worlds.
Yes.
There is no state support. There is no family network because it's been destroyed by all these movements. There is so much violence. They cannot go out on the streets alone at night. They're so afraid. And they think they have it really good, and they feel that they have it so much better than the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go back to Colombia and I see my friends, mm-hmm. They're well-educated. They have the freedom to either go out and hustle, but if they want to stay home and raise their kids, mm-hmm. it's totally okay because it's clear that motherhood is worth it and it's valuable. So that they have so many choices. They have their families. They have their mates, which is, you know, probably politically not that correct, but they help so much, and they have.
Lotus. This is two.
stance was that we'll just take any radical approach to get music to the fans. Set us a new standard to create a new method where more people could participate.
Democracy where a president can be assassinated under conspicuously suspicious circumstances while the machinery of legal action scarcely trembles.
The bonding.
The scene in the film Big Combo with Nick Conte kissing her on the eyebrow and then on the cheek and then on the chin and then on the neck. And all the time the camera's moving in on her close-up. And of course, by moving in, you eliminate Nick Conte.
Nothing's quite as much fun as choosing which delicious Eggo fruit waffle it's gonna be. Blueberry, strawberry, apple cinnamon. All with real fruit stirred in the batter. Give it a try. Fruit waffles, take your pick.
And open up to another great Eggo.
It allows a lot of artists, a lot of startup companies to participate in getting the music to the people without the cost and without the politics of radio, retail, and record companies.
Unleashed to take over the bodies and souls of the people of our planet, bringing a new dimension in terror to the giant superscope screen.
themselves. This is not a new thing, Jerry Seinfeld and stuff. This is one of the original things that radio and television did. George Burns and Jack Benny and Fred Allen. It was their lives we were laughing at. So I think it was, you know, it just showed you that you didn't have to stand up there and say, my wife is fat. There were other things to do.
I get away and I just started crying. So we got really pissed off and started yelling at me, don't love your father no more. So we had to leave. So we get home, right? And I'm crying in tears. My father screaming out. My mother meets us at the door. What's the matter? What's the matter? She didn't want to give her own father a hug anymore.
Beyond any comprehension.
Sir, conscript being moved from pit cell to ring game.
You know, hey! You guys sure are friendly, eh?
Wait! Let him fight one of his own kind.
Have you really been giving, or instead, honestly, have you been taking, or expecting to take, or wanting to take, or angry because you haven't been able to?
I mean, it didn't change me, but it changed my relationship with the world. I think I've changed kind of over time by virtue of the family. I've been with the same woman for 15 years. So I changed slowly, but when I got out, I didn't have any different attitude than I'd always had.
Too many pussies making too many people. The human population is increasing by 1 million every 4 days.
I mean, I was trying to give dignity to this idea of doing stand-up because it had none. Everyone who ever, you know, heard you that you did comedy just thought that you were just sitting there with a big cigar and opening for Frank Sinatra.
The internet may be just as good an idea. Recipes. But even at home, if you depend on the internet for telecommuting or bill paying, and especially at work, now that the internet's increasingly a part of the way we and our customers do business, can you afford for the internet to go dark?
Anyone, everywhere is a target. In the world of counterterrorism, however, the rules never change. Fast is slow. Slow is quick. Front sight focus, trigger squeeze, discipline and control.
The New York Times revised it radically. Didn't just leave the paragraph out. They revised it and gave it a totally different cast. It was then picked up by Newsweek, giving it the New York Times cast. It ended up being a whitewash, whereas the original was an atrocity story.
A cursed, dreadful, malevolent thing was happening to those he loved.
This isn't just an ordinary body. I never saw one like it. It looks unused.
The sensational star discovery of The View from Bobby.
And I don't know if it ever will be. The pain that he's caused.
I would like to see him die in the electric chair for the murder of my sister, who was innocently killed in cold blood.
You're gonna wipe me right out, don't you?
No, I... Hey, I...
The new guy was asking about you.
It's too bad he's in a match now. I'll probably never meet him.
Might. There's something different about him.
Okay. A very fancy shot. Okay, here's an easy one.
Finish the game!
No!
Kill him.
No!
You'll regret this.
Armed police are outside. Whoever you are, drop your weapon and come out.
Discipline and control.
Fours are often called perfection in the heart. France, for instance, is a country of fours, and Paris is a city of fours, and there's this tendency to look for, oh, this is a perfect experience, this is a perfect meal. The fours are very romantic, and they're really looking for this ideal, and often they'll bypass people in the process.
The reason we went there was because it's the cemetery of this church that I have chosen as my final resting place. So this is the spot down here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just to watch, there's a peg there.
Oh, yes. I'm going to stick to you.
This is a very important day today for us. To be here. One of my fears when Peter was first ill was what we would do if he should die. To have a minister like Logan to share this with us, and the Anglican Church being so accepting, it's a wonderful gift.
It's a very tough time right now. Mm-hmm.
Dreamed of horror makes her life and love a vortex of fear.
Skirts too short and way over the top. And then in the 20s, when women get in the 20s, I feel they chill out and think, oh, I'm not going to wear this all the time. This is a real pain. And just, it's so laborious, but, you know, makeup is quite a, just fiddly to do, and so you just rather not wear makeup. So, women in their 20s and their 30s, they just chill out and say, well, if I want to dress up, I can, but if I want to dress down, I can as well.
Discipline and control.
Yes, go ahead, read again.
This is probably one of the most dangerous things that we have to go through. During this, each person has to be thinking on his own.
Clear left. Clear right. All clear. Coming out.
Primarily, what we're looking for is that guys can get into the room quickly, down their walls, where they can engage these targets here and get good kill shots, high in the chest or up in the forehead area, and also identify whether they have a gun or they don't have a gun.
And just trying to get my body shape slightly different. So, but then a lot of women have this, women who go through, and men who go through lots of different facial looks and body shapes. There's women who are very mannish looking. There's men that are very feminine looking.
So you can feed that back. It's like, well, gee, I feel like I'm more a product of your feeling and your thinking inside than for actually who I am.
looking, there's men of a feminine looking, and there's the whole gamut of range of looks are there.
Of my sister, who was innocently killed in cold blood.
It was too difficult. I don't remember. But at any rate, my studio had in it various plaster casts, life that I had done from people, like hands and feet and faces and things.
I said to Chomsky at the time, I said, well, it may be that you're misinterpreting ignorance, haste, deadline pressure, etc., for some kind of determined effort to suppress an element of the story.
Of course, every facial expression, especially in comedy.
Well, I don't do comedy roles on television, so it's a totally different beast, really. I approach it a totally different way, and I don't pull big old faces.
It didn't change me, but it changed my relationship with the world. You know, I think I've changed kind of over time by virtue of the family. I've been with the same woman for 15 years. So I changed slowly, but when I got out, I didn't have any different attitude than I'd always had.
I don't pull big old faces.
Points of assortments. I think we also said that there are times that it really makes sense to give our customers some terrific values, i.e. taking low markup. And that if it made some sense for a four-day period to offer the customer the very best coats that are on the market, or the very best dresses or sportswear or whatever, and offer them that goods, and maybe we take a 35% markup for that 4 days, and that you get it back by virtue of taking the stuff and just turning it very quickly and getting it, you know, getting it in and getting it out and not having to worry with leftovers, and really so that the customer's perception of us is we take a 35% markup for that 4 days, and that you get it back by taking low markup, and that if it made some sense for a 4 day period. So the two things we're saying is that one, that essentially what we're going in should be new goods. It should be current goods that is, and pretty much wear now goods. Atlanta, and we talked about San Francisco. San Francisco's sort of come online now, and that because it is a very meaningful event, particularly in coats. We understand over Washington.
Do they promote heavily in
yes,
San Francisco?
Yeah, that's our understanding. Fall season and stuff that we didn't sell off, and just, you know, going down to some low prices and going into some assortments and just sort of meeting the day because it was there. And I think what we said with the other divisions that one, we are very definitely going to plan major units, full page units, and
it's nothing anymore, it just is. And now relax. And be more than your body. In the stillness, in the darkness, where there is no sight, no sound, No taste or touch or hearing.
Hey, Flynn, you made it.
Wait here.
You won. Alan.
Where did you hear that name?
Well, that's your name, isn't it?
The name of my user.
So I think that a lot of people come through here and they think, well, you know, this training is fun. This is going to be great. We're going to get out in the sand and the surf and have a great time. But the thing that we try to emphasize here is don't lose sight of the big picture. And the big picture is that this is a combat unit.
Look, I can do white mouth frog impressions.
You don't want to be cast as a funny, in a funny
yeah,
role?
I don't do comedy roles, and I'm not doing transvestite roles, because everyone's coming and say, hey, comedy transvestite, here, comedy transvestite role. And I'm just going, no, I'm just going to play straight roles. There's a straight dramatically and just ordinary orthodox sexuality area.
Your feeling and your thinking inside than for actually who I am. Fours live in this rich internal world, and sometimes they're not really present to what's happening, and often you'll be giving a four what your very best, and they're evaluating you.
Trembles. How many more political murders to size as heart attacks, suicides, cancers, drug overdoses? How many airplane and car crashes will occur before they are...
I sort of had a whole reversal with this thing, because like everybody else does clubs and then gets on television, I did about 5 years of television before I ever performed in front of a live concert audience.
Thank you.
No, I'm in a payphone, and I don't have a home telephone.
Years ago. And in a snake-eating-its-own-tail kind of dance, fully a third of these computer buyers used the web for some combination of researching, ordering, or paying for their new PC. Raw bandwidth. End quote. Thinking about this, I wonder. Latency and other problems with the internet, which leave the quality of internet telephony voice calls somewhat lacking, are going to eventually be solved. And since massive bulk bandwidth translates pretty seamlessly into higher capacity at lower cost to internet users, once we solve that last mile problem, could this bring significant competitive pressure on those local exchange carriers to lower their termination charges? It will be interesting to see how this plays out. E-commerce update. Our growing internet. There are now, according to Network Wizard's latest in a long-running biannual series of reports on the size of the internet, 56.2 million computers reaching out and touching the net, which is up 30% from the last study 6 months ago. That's an annual growth rate of 53% compared to 46% 6 months ago. Another way to look at this is described in the August 13th computergram, is that there are 50 new computers connecting to the internet and 10 new domain names registered every minute.
Too many pussies making too many people. Population is increasing by 1 million every 4 days. That's a net increase of 95 million people per year. Another Mexico every year. Got it?
Make the historical point, and then I'll stop talking, that for 7 years before the passage of the Communications Act of 1934, for 7 years before they formed the FCC, for 7 years before they decided our broadcasting system would be commercial, there was a very, very lively national debate in this country over whether or not radio should be commercial at all.
You to say, and you too.
Goodbye, ladies. You wasted my time and yours. The other three, line them up. Okay, show me your tits. I gotta top the show, for Christ's sake. Let me see your tits. Very nice, ladies. Gabe?
Yeah?
Go to the other music. Marty, change the light.
Hey, Q Angel, let's come in 20 seconds.
Jack, bring up the side spots.
All right. I want to see some attitude. I said attitude. Come on, ladies. Fail. Fail your body. Got it. Try yoga, babe. Hanging from the ceiling or something? See ya. Marty, ice. You got something wrong with your nipples?
No.
They're not sticking up. Stick them up.
What?
Play with them a little. Pinch them a little. You want me to do it for you? I'll do it.
Seven markets, Gary.
Chicago, St. Louis, Washington, Westchester, Atlanta, and we talked about San Francisco.
San Francisco sort of come online now. And that, because it is a very meaningful event, particularly in coasts, we understand, over Washington.
Do they promote heavily in
yes.
San Francisco?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I simply thought of these wooden sections instead of moving back and forth and activating sounds as being able to lift up and see something rather than hear something. And then I saw these things I had, and I decided to put them in it. So I did.
What about Dada, Neo Dada, and Duchamp, with whom you've already been?
What about Dada? What kind of question is that? What about Dada?
But it looked like a miniature man, you know, with a smaller head. But it wasn't the great big narrow face with the big eyes, this type of thing.
Of legal access, that's the truth. How many more political murders besides heart attacks, suicides, cancers, drug overdoses? How many airplane and car crashes will occur before they are exposed for what they are?
I recognize one of these names. It's in an X-File.
X-File?
Yes, unsolved cases. I file them under X.
cases, file them under X.
Why don't you file them under U for unsolved?
That's what I did until I ran out of room.
Feeling the way you wrote that every step of the way was, at least for you, this whole new drugstore, if we can use that again, of plants, and around the next corner was a whole other one.
Used for 3 years, mostly physical and mentally, but mostly the mental part. I got over the physical, but I'll never get over the mental.
While you're asleep, they'll absorb your minds, your memories.
I don't want any part of it.
You're forgetting something, Miles.
What's that?
You have no choice.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spreads as the unimaginable becomes real, the impossible becomes true.
But I'll never get over the mental. There's no way to tell you what this man has done to me and my family. He doesn't deserve to live.
Question is that, what about Dada? Later on, I can play a trance myself, or when I've found the right one, or whatever. But, and comedy, I don't play comedy, because my comedy is... I was very influenced by Steve Martin, and... I just listened to his CD again, early CDs of stand-up, and if you hit in this area of kind of crazy, surreal stuff, people just want to see you do that. They don't want to see you do anything, any straight roll, because the hits of comedy are just so buzzy that you don't want... You can't wait around to get the slow feel, the slow burn of someone who's bringing a character... to a screen over, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you get drawn into believing in this person as being a real person.
I'm in a payphone, and I don't have a home telephone.
To know it's there. Bring your consciousness now up to the top of your spinal column. And sense there that tiny little ball that is the reticular portion of your brain. You do have a vehicle to house that consciousness. It's not going anywhere without you.
It may seem unusual that I've chosen to be buried in such a rural setting, but really this is a corner of the world that I'm very comfortable with, having spent many years growing up in this area. I see coming back here not so much an ending, but rather a homecoming.
We have a winner, thanks for calling. 99 Rock, we have a winner, thanks for calling.
99 Rock, we have a winner, thanks for calling.
Notions I figure are worth passing along, worth your time and mine. What I mean is, it's got to be worth it because I know me, I don't like any man clocking hours on my time. Figure it's the same way with you.
You glimpse it is enough to know it's there.
So, not just growing, but growing faster. Welcome to the Knowledge Age, where opportunity is but a click away. Wagging the PC. Indeed, the trends we just discussed help us to understand why it's the internet that's now wagging the PC. This was quantified in the August 11th Internet Daily, describing an AC Nielsen TechWatch report, which verified that during the first quarter of this year, access to the internet, quote, was the most frequently cited reason for purchasing a computer.
It out. He played out whatever the scenario he was playing. If it was a character, I remember Jay Leno came up to him once, you know, after a Tony Clifton performance and said, "Hey, Andy, it was great." And Andy went, "What are you talking about? I'm Tony Clifton." "Yeah, Andy, come on, it's me, Jay. We worked together. Drop it." And he wouldn't drop it. You know, if Andy took on a persona, he became that, and he walked into that club and left that club playing that role. And some performers had a very hard time with this because it's sort of like, "Hey, let me into the club, Andy." And Andy didn't let anybody into the club except me, you know, occasionally members of his family. But he had to protect for him to believe the incredible insanity. total insanity that he created, the mythology that he created on stage. You had to just give him that. It was, you know, it's comparable like to working to Houdini. I could say, yeah, I worked with Houdini. With Kaufman, and you just knew you did not give the secrets away.
Transvestite roles, because everyone's come and said, hey, comedy transvestite, here, comedy transvestite role. And I'm just going, no, I'm just going to play straight roles. There's a straight dramatically and just ordinary orthodox sexuality area. Later on, I can play a transvestite role when I've found the right one or whatever. But and comedy, I don't play comedy because my comedy is, I was very influenced by Steve Martin. And if I just listened to his CD again, early CDs of stand-up, and if you hit in this area of kind of crazy, surreal stuff, people just want to see you do that. They don't want to see you do anything, any straight role, because the hits of comedy are just so buzzy that you don't want, you can't wait around to get the slow feel, the slow burn of someone who's bringing a character to a screen over, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you get drawn into believing in this person as being a real person.
That's not for that room.
Take my word for it, Mr. Brown. This one does look better. It does look.
Listen,
would you not go for another colour in the big room?
Are you trying? Listen, what was ordered was the wooden floor for the dining room and the blue carpet with the border is for the back room.
No, I'll tell you, no, the rest of it is oxo-like. I've got the office done in the main bedroom, and I've it down here, Sarah's room and Arden's room.
Yeah.
They're all done as well.
Yeah, but that's all right. Listen, that's nothing to do with it.
You must be a wealthy man, Mr. Brown, to be putting carpet in your utility room as well. It's a fine house, by the way. You must be making lots of bobs.
I think this fella's on drugs, Brett. Hold on a second, Ken. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the carpet up. I hope that thing is not damaged.
Well, I can take it up. I'm after tacking it to the bleeding floor.
Well, I'll tell you this much, if you don't take it up, I'll tack you to the bleeding wall. Get that, you want to get that up? So what did Colette say?
Well, she went ballistic because she realises, like, because she's on site with me, like, she realised that if I pull this up, the nails coming out of the floor will damage the timber. The carpet nails have gone down into the timber floor.
How long are you working with Des, Kelly?
About 2 weeks.
Oh,
well, that's the like of it, huh?
Well, listen, Ken, the only thing I can tell you, 2 weeks with him. Is there nobody else with you in the van? There's normally two guys who work.
No, he sent me out on my own. He said that Jerry Bowden is easily pleased, so that wouldn't be a problem.
I'm actually over here in Sligo. I want you to take up the carpet, because if you don't take it up, when I get home, I'll take it up, and then you can swing for his money.
But you'll damage the floor if you do.
The floor. You're going to have... Listen, just get the carpet up out of there. It's not for that room.
Is your wife Italian, is she?
What?
Is your wife Italian?
Yeah, she is, yeah.
Oh, that's where the Browzoni comes in. Has she got a Zoni in the end of her name, yeah?
Yeah, Franzoni. Well, boy, what's that got to do with it?
That'll explain her temper. She's mental in there.
I don't believe and blame her. Ken, you just come here, you're putting down a fortune I paid for that carpet. And you're putting it down into the wrong room. Listen, are you on a drug rehab program or something, are you?
I can put it in the other room, but there'll be a kind of a border.
Wherever you're bleeding, like. Get it over there.
There'll be a kind of a border then around it, because it's not going to meet the wall on all four sides,
listen,
you know?
So, where's Colette?
She's in the house. I couldn't get a signal in the house, so I had to come out to the van. Do you mind if I leave it there and just like talk
I
to...
I do, yeah. I do mind if you leave it there.
Just like talk to Des, like.
What did you say your second name was?
When the Des Kelly van comes down your street. Are you the guy who does that ad on...
I am, yeah.
On the radio?
Me. Yeah.
I have you now. Oh, you're Brendan O'Carroll's buddy, are you?
That's me, yeah. Thank you. Any damage done to my house, believe me, my friend, I will be calling down to see you.
I like movies as terrorism. If a movie could make someone murder somebody, I think it's a great movie. I don't think any movie has ever made anybody want to murder somebody. For real. They had bad parents or bad things happened to them. You can't just blame a movie. But if a completely normal person could walk in a movie and they'd leave and make them kill somebody, even though I would hate for that to happen, it must be a pretty good movie.
Significantly, that's three times the number of PC buyers who cited this reason 3 years ago. And in a snake-eating-its-own-tail kind of dance, fully a third of these computer buyers used the web for some combination of researching, ordering, or paying for their new PC. According to A.C. Nielsen's Paul Klein, quote, "General acceptance of the Internet has transformed the computer from a business tool to an essential home appliance."
And sense there that tiny little ball that is the reticular portion of your brain. And sense it in the center of your brain beginning to pulsate. And as it pulsates, it gets a little larger, smaller, larger, smaller, larger, smaller. Pulsate. And as it pulsates, it gets a little larger, smaller, larger, smaller.
And as it pulsates, it gets a little larger,
larger, smaller. Just let it go slowly.
Larger, smaller,
smaller,
larger,
just let it go slowly.
Larger, smaller,
smaller,
larger,
smaller,
larger,
smaller,
smaller,
larger, smaller.
Thank you.
future of a democracy where a president can be assassinated under conspicuously suspicious circumstances while the machinery of legal action scarcely trembles? How many more political murders to size as heart attacks, suicides, cancers, drug overdoses? How many political murders to car crashes will occur before they are exposed for what they are? Cancers, drug overdoses. How many airplane and car crashes will occur before...
She didn't walk, she danced. She was the little girl next door. She was everybody's sweetheart. When things get out of hand and I can't handle it, that's the way I think of her.
Being gay is too easy for me. Being gay now is in every movie, so I have to twist that even. I have to do a joke on that to make it gaily incorrect. So I have to twist that even. A normal person could walk in a movie and believe and make him kill somebody, even though I would hate for that to happen to him. Pretty good movie. Being gay is too easy for me. Pretty good movie. Being gay is too easy for me. Being gay now is in every movie, so I have to twist that even. I have to do a joke on that to make it gaily incorrect.
Marty?
Hi.
Hi.
Gay's our line captain.
Hi.
If you let me down, I could lose my reputation for being such an all-knowing prick.
For you, I'll do it.
Program from a user that knows Alan.
He was disoriented in transport, Tron.
Yeah, but I'm remembering all kinds of stuff. Like my user wants me to go after the MCP.
My user wants that too.
I know.
Gold 1 to Gold 2 and 3. Split up. Take them one at a time.
sit in the center of your brain beginning to pulsate. And as it pulsates, it gets a little larger, smaller, larger, smaller, larger, smaller, larger, smaller. Just let it go slowly. Let it go slowly. Smaller, larger, smaller, larger, smaller, larger. Normal size, relax.
I'm in a payphone, and I don't have a home telephone.
You, from their inside, rather than from the actual experience that's happening. With fours, the energy moves a lot. It's seldom boring. Fours can change from one moment to the next. And if that's the case and you want a little more consistency, you can feed that back that you like a little less drama.
He said, well, if it happened once or twice or three times, I might agree with you, but if it happens a dozen times, Mr. Meyer, I think there's something else at work.
Now, what happened was this. I listened just like you listened to Howie and Harvey, Stan and Al, and then I just jotted down a few notes, got to that microphone, and went to it. And let me tell you something, friend. What I said was, as I remember it now, pretty fair stuff. Fact is, though, I can't say what it was I did say exactly, because somehow, in some way, nobody's too blessed sure how, I got news about an hour ago that the recording they made when I talked about Howie and Harvey and all, well, sir, what they told me was that not a blessed soul could find it. Lost, they figure.
I thought being gay when I was growing up, the privilege was you didn't have to go in the army or get married because you were gay.
Now you have to fight for it.
So that's what I mean by gayly incorrect. I can't imagine, no matter how much in love, that I would want to walk down the aisle in a mock ceremony. I hate straight weddings, much less gay ones. I have no desire. It's like a Hallmark greeting card hell. It's something that I'm for. Everybody has the right to do it, God knows. I mean, heterosexual people get married 7 times and fail. Why can't gay people? I'm not strict. I don't think there should be rules in any culture. The only problem sometimes I have with gay culture is it's gaily correct, just like liberals are politically correct or Republicans are Republicanly correct. I like to break rules no matter who makes them, and I like to break them with humor.
Marty?
Hi.
Hi.
Gay's our line captain.
Hi.
If you let me down, I could lose my reputation for being such an all-knowing prick. I worked very hard for that reputation, so don't do it. Deal?
Deal.
Gay will show you around.
Okay.
Get going. Know me?
We'll do a run through this afternoon.
Great.
Good luck.
Thank you.
They always tell you that in Vegas, just before they take your money.
You need to maintain your weight. Eat a lot of brown rice and vegetables. And stay indoors. I don't want to see any tan lines. Your makeup and your costumes are your own responsibility. Don't take them home. Whatever you do, don't ever, ever go out on stage crying. You do eat brown rice and vegetables, don't you? Stage crying. You do eat brown rice and vegetables, don't you?
Sure.
Good. Stage crying. You do eat brown rice and vegetables, don't you?
If you're small.
Brown rice and vegetables, don't you?
Sure.
Good.
This is your table. If you're smart, and I was smart, you'll figure out a job and a man for later on.
How'd you find your guy?
I chipped my tooth on a quaalude. He was my dentist. You're gonna be running this monster 6 times a night. Hold on to the railing, you don't want to fall. I'll take you up to personnel. You want to...
Tight. The job is very dangerous. You're talking high altitudes, high winds, becoming lost, having malfunctions underneath your canopy. So many things can go wrong.
This SEAL platoon and their 2 stacked Zodiac rafts, called a double duck, will use static line parachutes to be airdropped at sea from altitudes of less than 3,000 feet. Constantly preparing for war during peacetime is the ultimate challenge for SEAL leaders. But overestimating capabilities can be an inherent danger for aggressive men.
The last time we did a parachute-type insertion in wartime or in a conflict was in Grenada, and we lost 4 SEALs. They were very aggressive. They stormed out in some pretty severe conditions, and they did not survive it. Some people would say probably in that case they were overly aggressive. I'm not going to sit here. I wasn't on the ramp. I didn't make the decision. They paid the ultimate price for their aggressiveness and their decisiveness in that particular matter.
But my relationship with society changed. I'd been on the cover of Harper's Magazine. I had a book published. I had another one in production. I had a movie being made. That's a whole lot of different situation than getting out, you know, with $40 in your pocket.
Who are the Maxes?
Who decides when a case gets an X?
The director's office. It's kind of a dead end. No one's supposed to see them, but it makes for interesting reading. It's kind of a dead end.
Right.
This is Nomi.
Hey.
Nikki, Julie, Dina, and you know Gay.
How you doing?
They'll run you through it once. You just watch, and then we'll blend you in.
Have you eaten anything? No. Jack.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Burger, fries, and soda. Get us some brown rice, vegetables, and a bottle of Evian.
You got it.
You guys can find it out. No, no, I mean, no, no, no. Come take a look at this first. No one's supposed to see them, but makes for interesting reading. That's why it's an X-File. They don't know.
I love the sound of the bone against the plate. And the fortress-like look of it lying before me in a moat of risotto. The meat, soft as the leg of an angel who has lived a purely airborne existence. And best of all, the secret marrow, the invaded privacy of the animal, prized out with a knife and swallowed down with cold, exhilarating wine. I am swaying now in the hour after dinner, a citizen tilted back on his chair, a creature with a full stomach, something you don't hear much about in poetry, that sanctuary of hunger and deprivation. You know, the driving rain, the boots by the door, small birds searching for berries in winter. But tonight, the lion of contentment has placed a warm, heavy paw on my chest. And I can only close my eyes and listen to the drums of woe throbbing in the distance and the sound of my wife's laughter on the telephone in the next room. The woman who cooked the savory osso buco, who pointed to show the butcher the one she wanted. She who talks to her faraway friend while I linger here at the table with a hot companionable cup of tea, feeling like one of the friendly natives, a reliable guide, maybe even the chief's favorite son. Somewhere, a man is crawling up a rocky hillside on bleeding knees and palms, an Irish penitent carrying the stone of the world in his stomach. And elsewhere, people of all nations stare at one another across a long, empty table. But here, the candles give off their warm glow, the same light that Shakespeare and Isaac Walton wrote by, the light that lit and shadowed the faces of history. Only now it plays on the blue plates, the crumpled napkins, the crossed knife and fork. In a while, one of us will go up to bed, and the other one will follow. Then we will slip below the surface of the night into miles of water, drifting down and down to the dark, soundless bottom until the weight of dreams pulls us lower still, below the shale and layered rock, beneath the strata of hunger and pleasure, into the broken bones of the earth itself, into the marrow of the only place we know.
Have, if you like, a funny definition of what is a secret here in this town. Now, a secret is not something that nobody knows. A secret is something that everybody knows, but everybody knows that it's a secret.
wonder what's wrong with America? You wonder what's wrong with America?
Hedonism has reached a fever pitch.
I knew I never should have gotten involved with that woman. I knew I never should have gotten involved with that woman. Part of her power being she was a bad butch who made women unravel, come undone at the seams like Wonder Woman. Beneath her armor was desperate. I knew I never should have gotten involved with that woman, but somewhere inside she moved me to another country and I started speaking in languages I had never learned.
Medical students. They were prepared for a day drop into a fairly benign sea. They were dropped at night into a very stormy sea. Four of the men drowned, and it just should never have happened.
The four men who died were members of a specially trained SEAL unit assigned to the invasion. Their platoon never reached its objective of marking the airfield for an airborne invasion. Two other SEAL platoons were to rescue hostages at the governor's mansion and capture the island's only radio station. At the governor's house, enemy fire shot down two helicopters and prevented a third from landing. Once inside the mansion, this platoon was surrounded by armored vehicles and Cuban troops. One SEAL sniper was credited with 17 to 22 enemy kills during the night, which kept the Cubans from overrunning the house. Meanwhile, the second platoon successfully destroyed the radio station, but was forced to escape by swimming out to sea.
Much because I think it's really true, okay, that in the Latin cultures there's still this esteem for motherhood, there's a grandeur, to woman's sexuality. This is why I dedicated my first book, Sexual Persona, to my grandmother, and so because they were pre-feminist women, but the majesty, okay, that my grandmothers had, they were powerful personalities. The power of the mother over the family. I mean, my grandmothers could terrorize at thousands of miles. I mean, their power was incredible. None of the contemporary feminists that I know, the white middle class feminists, have any anywhere near the grandeur of my Italian grandmother's. Now, the only place I see it in the culture where it's anything like that is African-American women. I mean, African-American, working-class African-American women, these powerful figures, all right? This is why I love, it's not politically correct to say so. That's why I love the mammy figure in Gone with the Wind, the mammy who controls everything.
So said his public relations. Those photographs, however, looked like they were 80 feet high. They looked as high as an 8-story motel. They dominated every moment of the convention. They spoke of an ego which had the veracity of a beast. At that convention, there were other clues to the mystery of the president's personality. It was apparent he had vast affection for the powers of television. An affection so huge, it shrank from any pretext that he might have equally large affection for his delegates.
Professor Chomsky, having been in this business, it happens a dozen times, these are very imperfect institutions.
When they did give coverage, it was from the point of view of, it was a whitewash of the United States. Now, you know, that's not an error. That's systematic, consistent behavior, in this case, without even any exception.
This is a much more subtle process than you get in the kind of the sledgehammer rhetoric of the people that make an A to B equation between what the government does, what people think, and what newspapers say.
Part behind two huge television towers.
Does it bother you?
What?
Walking around in circles?
Television towers. Television towers.
And sometimes what the Times does can make enormous difference. At other times, it has no influence whatsoever.
Two huge television towers.
Sledgehammer rhetoric.
Thank you.
WZBC. Coming out of the ocean onto the beach. Radio time. A very strange animal it is, too. Out of Newton, where it all began. New Metaphysics. Gary G. right here. Your pal in Radioland. I heard it on the radio tonight, driving in, on a sports show out of Chicago, no less, where they were wavering between college football and professional. Times being what they are. About the convergence of media and the internet. So I can't even be futuristic in talking about that anymore. Bumped off the hopscotch square. Was it Jax? I usually played child games when I was a little too old for them, but that's when I got to them. I was in rehearsal trying to stand erect like a man. At any rate, the changes are a-coming. And very shortly now, John Q. Public will roll over onto the beach. The tanning screen and other kinds of beach technology. Keep the ultraviolet out. New Metaphysics on the Big Z, your friend in Radio Land. Still, guided by lights, oh, these many decades, and a good thing it was. Following the perturbations and ululations, standing erect, standing tall, with all the electron punch we can muster out of 1,000 watts. So the market makers, the middlemen, the West Coast promo weasels in the record industry, the phone company, long distance rackets, that is. 50 cents for a phone booth phone call. $5 minimum, MCI WorldCom. CDs still $14. Mass media still Watch out for those teen shows for the teen bump demographic following the boom 20 years ago or whenever they reached post-puberty. And all the other middlemen. But much more than that. That's the incoming. The new programming, the 500 million channels. Making that ululation around the PC, post-PC, for all those people on the beach never to have a computer, never will, and damn proud. Because male-dominated technology ain't what it used to be. It's a full strap-on, body-clad, don't punch a hole in it or you die in minutes type of wetsuit. And that's not for everybody. But prologue is prologue, and we're getting under speed here. And the beach has been cleared of enemy fire. We know this. There's a new sheriff in town since 93, punching out that Netscape Navigator written in machine language. Machine language clad living tissue. All dressed in black light. Waiting for his dance partner. Emerging all around him now. So post-internet, and I don't mean internet 2 or 3 either. Forming now. Fully ready to be enjoying a fully erect posture by her partner. After the 500 million channels, only a few thousand phenomenal ones. But what about the response in the audience? About a generation growing up without mass media only? And then what are they going to do after that? So all is one, all will be one, and the ETA will be correct. See how you have to wait for electricity? It's got a mind of its own. Like a trained electrician with pliers. Or is it a monkey? But it's necessary. Everybody plays. It's an open invitation. The animals are very happy and the plants ecstatic. Their lessons have been learned well. As we extend the platform into the miraculous here. Away, moving away from away from and extending the platform. You'll get used to it. It feels real good. So wave goodbye at the platform. Wave goodbye. Just let it wash over you. You know the drill. You've seen The Interview that attempts to annihilate the interviewee many times now. Like when Jimi Hendrix was on the Dick Cavett show, for example. So we'll try a real interview soon. We'll get on that genetic spiral. See what's going on in there. What other middlemen can we get rid of? Think about this. So I'm waving goodbye myself. Internet is kind of a snoozer at this point. On to bigger and greater things. Every Thursday, 10 to 2, I'm the proud lady of the airways, WZBC, the station that knows no restraint, and all those almost instinctual interview questions or propaganda that could never be figured out by the average John Q. public as we watched all those decades fighting for right and all that unraveling from the straight line meeting up at the pass and proceeding on to the dance floor. Some kind of tango. So don't die now. Get your hand off that family-sized jar of aspirin now. It's just anger anyway. Just ease back off the joystick for a little while more. It'll all become obvious real soon. You'll only have one number you have to remember. Thank you.
Perhaps a fifth of the delegates were seated in front of those towers. The rest were installed behind. From nearly every position behind the television towers, it was not possible to have a direct view of the speaker on the rostrum. One had to watch him on television.
And then there is the limbic, that larger extension. Let it now pulsate still underneath, within your head. Sense it getting larger and smaller, larger and smaller, larger and smaller, larger and smaller.
I remember the heady, steady thrill of the swing, legs pumping, my heart thumping, leaning back on the upswing to see the clouds, straining into the downswing and laughing out loud, keeping wild time like a crazy pendulum and never slowing my momentum. Don't swing too high. Teacher's voice, trying to shoot us girls from the sky. Never tell an athlete she cannot go higher.
To the floor, the move to liquid paint, and the rejection of traditional figuration and composition, which made Pollock such a radical.
Why did he do it?
Why is always a huge question, and there isn't any central event in his life that would trigger it. It's not like you can find a moment that suggests why he would do it. We know from the beginning that he had an iron will to be an artist. Even when he was told he had no talent, even when he couldn't compete with other more facile, more gifted students around him, he knew he wanted to make of his life the life of an artist. It was a way of getting control. And no matter how chaotic his life got, no matter how much he was a drunk and being picked out of police stations, he didn't drink in the studio, and the studio became the place where he could exercise a kind of control he didn't have elsewhere in his life. And he pushed through with it, and by the time the 40s came around, when Clement Greenberg or other critics supported him, he wasn't just going to be a painter, he was determined he was going to be the greatest painter there was, that he was going to beat Picasso. And I think he was impelled competitively to keep trying to push painting into some new zone where only he would own it.
There's almost a sense that he enjoyed the celebrity, but didn't like it because he thought it might detract from the fact that he was a serious artist.
Getting larger and smaller, 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 larger, normal size, and relax it. And you have also then this left and right hemisphere. Sense the left hemisphere getting larger, leaving the right alone. And now sense the right one getting a little smaller, leaving the left one larger. And now slowly reverse that. Let the right get larger as the left gets smaller, And Holy is the right hemisphere larger.
The right get larger.
And the left smaller.
And hold it.
Now go back the other way. Don't move your eyes. Hold your eyes forward. As you sense it shifting.
Don't move your eyes.
And now back.
Hold your eyes forward.
And forth.
As you sense it shifting.
Back.
And now back.
Don't look.
And forth.
Back.
And forth.
Stop it normally. And now those frontal lobes on the left and right sense the left
stop
one larger.
Normally.
And now the right one. Left. Slowly. Right. Don't look. Don't let your eyes go to the left and right. Keep them forward.
Left.
As you
slowly
just sense
right.
The lobes,
don't look.
It's very easy to look, but don't. Left and right.
Larger and smaller.
As you just sense
back
the lobes, it's very easy to look.
Back
but
and
don't. Now stop. And sense both the frontal lobes getting larger and smaller.
Now stop.
Larger and smaller. Larger and smaller. And now faster. Larger, smaller, and
larger,
smaller.
Smaller.
Larger,
larger,
smaller. Faster,
and smaller.
Larger, smaller. Larger, smaller. Larger, smaller. Larger, smaller. Keep it going. Faster now. Faster. 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 Stop.
You're absolutely right. I think that Pollock craved celebrity. He wanted success. He wanted to sell his pictures. He liked being well known. He liked the Life magazine article and photographs of him painting. At the same time, this is a man of the generation of the 50s for whom the word authenticity really meant something. And the sense of having an integrity in a sense of a bohemian exclusion of all of the distractions of bourgeois life, a life lived in art with all of its high seriousness, that was also extremely important to him. And there were key moments in his life where those two things came into conflict and caused him a lot of anguish.
You said this about him in a remarkable essay at the beginning of this book, which you entitled Comet, because it was such an extraordinary rise and then an extraordinary decline, or something else?
For two reasons. Comet, because he burned so bright and so fast, is that sense of him consuming himself. But also Comet, because comets, when they pass through our universe, are constant sources of wonder and interpretation. Everyone feels the need to make a meaning out of him. And after watching Hale Bopp go by a year or so ago, I got so conscious of when some extraordinary phenomenon you're not prepared for arrives on the scene, you need to find a meaning from it. And I think that's been true of Pollock's life and art.
$15,000 cash, as
well,
you asked. And these are our tapes?
I had an arrangement with the director. I was to give those to him, you see, personally.
I understand. But he's not here this afternoon. As a matter of fact, he's out of the country. And he asked me to get the tapes from you and give you the money.
I would like to have met the woman she would have been. She
She would have been somebody.
We took a transformer and hooked it to my genitals and stepped back and took pictures while I'm flopping around.
Every game tank in the grid. Get them!
I should never have written all those tank programs.
Overwhelmingly, not only conservative, they're really hard right conservatives, and that's a huge audience. In fact, all of the polls indicated that the single greatest influence from the media, broadly described, on the voting public comes from talk radio, or I might say also the most opinionated. A huge audience.
Straight ahead with your eyes closed and see what you see. See the movement of light and color. See the electricity. And now with the hemispheres, move them, the left and the right, very rapidly, larger and smaller, keeping your eyes forward without moving to the left and right also. But keep that brain now pulsating, pulsating, and now both large, both small, both large, both small. Let the frontal lobes join in the same pattern. Both large, both small. Sense both parts of the brain, large, small. Large, small. Large, small.
What about me?
You'll see.
A lot of fun you are.
When the red, red robin goes bop, bop, bopping along, along.
We started this conversation anyhow.
You did.
I didn't know.
Yes, you did. You just don't remember. Like I just told you a joke.
Does it bother you?
What?
Walking around in circles.
Oh, look, that's terrible.
He's not hurting anyone.
Neither are we. Oh, God. Every time I see one of those old guys, I always think the same thing.
What do you think?
Yeah, what do you think?
The godsend liberating idea for him was the one he got simultaneously from looking at modern art and listening to his therapist. The principle that art could ultimately depend not on acquired talents, but on inner resources, no matter how disturbed that inner life was. What does that mean?
Well, Pollock really reinvented himself as an artist at one of the low moments of his psychic difficulties, when he entered a mental institution for dryout for alcohol in 1938 and then went into therapy with a number of Jungian therapists. And I think the Jungian therapists encouraged him to believe that people's emotional difficulties are often the reflection of a set of deep-seated conflicts which are universal to all human beings, and that our unconscious is structured by certain primordial forms which are the shared language of the human mind and go back to tribal art. And those are the forms that Picasso, for example, seemed to be drawing out when he drew out the bull as a male symbol, when he drew out the distortions of the female body, that these were primordial forms that linked back to African art or to pre-Columbian art. When Pollock was told by people that it was okay that he was troubled, it was okay that he was difficult, that an artist could use, what I said in the essay, use his stumbling blocks for building, that the things that for other people were impediments might for him be springboards to realizing an art of power, and that he didn't have to answer to anybody else's rhythm, that he had to find his own in his work.
He could find his own creativity in his own soul and whatever was making him, you know, was shaping his psyche at the time.
I mean, it can't have been true in a certain sense. Anytime we express ourselves, we draw on borrowed forms, and certainly Pollock drew very heavily on Miro, on Picasso, on the other things that he found in modern art. But the feeling that his imperative was to produce an art that satisfied his own inner sense, not outer measure and outer criteria, but that satisfied his need to make it, that was an important thing for him.
Also, I roam the decaffeinated streets. At that point, I'm lost. I need help. The other thing that throws me off, and maybe this is just me, is the way the scene keeps shifting around. First, we're in this big aerodrome, and the speaker is inspecting a row of dirigibles, which makes me think this could be a dream. Then he takes us into his garden, the part with the dahlias and the coiling hose. Though that's nice, the coiling hose. But then I'm not sure where we're supposed to be. The rain and the mint green light, that makes it feel outdoors. But what about this wallpaper? Or is it a kind of indoor cemetery? There's something about death going on here.
Tell you this too. When that lady said to me, "Bill, we lost that tape you made," what I want to tell you is that Bill she was talking about, he was 184 pounds, a miserable man. Not because the job was lost, mind you. Not because I had to do the whole blessed business once again. Not any of that at all. No, sir. Fact was, miserable because as I remembered it, what I'd said back there was something to hear. But not so I could remember it enough, so I could say it again this time. Say it just the way I'd said it before.
I gotta get in shape now. Too much sitting has ruined my body. Too much abuse has gone on for too long. From now on, it'll be 50 push-ups each morning. 50 pull-ups. There'll be no more pills. There'll be no more bad food. No more destroyers of my body. From now on, it'll be total organization. Every muscle must be tight.
This is Glenn Gould, and this program is called The Idea of North.
Documentaries you made for the CBC. Two of your programs, The Idea of North and The Latecomers, are both of the idea of solitude as it affects people living in northern Canada.
In fact, all of those programs deal to some degree with solitude. There are five programs I've made that have taken 300 or 400 hours of studio time. Number one was, as you mentioned, the idea of North. Two was Latecomers. Three was Stokowski. Four is one we're just mixing now on Casals. Casals, a portrait for radio. I'm doing one next year on Schoenberg, and there's one that's laying around now for a year and a half. It's a program about the Mennonites called Quiet in the Land, and that's the ultimate in community isolation. So next, I want to do a comedy about an isolated man, because I'm sick and tired of all these profound statements.
Well, radio itself is a solitary experience. Why does it interest you as a medium?
I'd like to deal with this as sensibly as I can. It's a big question. It's an important question. I don't know what the effective ratio would be, but I've always had the sort of intuition that for every hour you spend with other human beings, you need X number of hours alone. Now, what that X represents, I don't really know, whether it be 2 7/8 or 7 2/8, but it's a substantial ratio. Radio's something that's always been very close to me ever since I was a child, something I listen to virtually nonstop.
And it involves the idea of what a sacred site is all about. There are two types of monuments that exist in the world today. There may be others, but two basic ones. One let's call monument type one. A monument type one is something like a war memorial, which commemorates a specific event occurring at a specific time with specific people involved in it. We all know this kind of phenomenon, and I say a war memorial is a very good example. Then we have what I call monument type twos. These are structures which do not commemorate a specific event at a specific time. Rather, they commemorate a process which is good throughout time. For example, Stonehenge commemorates solstices and equinoxes and most northerly extremes of the moon on the horizon and southerly extremes of the moon on the horizon. And these were the sacred times. Solstice means the time when the sun stands still on the horizon. The summer solstice is when there is maximum light, minimum darkness. The winter solstice, there is maximum darkness, minimum light.
Some foreign guy who had this great Elvis Presley impression down, and then of course he'd walk off the stage and you believed it. So it was really quite amazing. You never do this, but this man just came to town, and don't tell your friends I'm never going to do this again, but I'm going to put him up to close the show. And his name is Andy Kaufman, and Andy would come on stage and he would do this foreign man character, and of course it was awful. He'd do impressions like, I'd like to do Jimmy Carter. Hello, I am Jimmy Carter, President of the United States. Oh, and people, you would sit there in the audience and women would hit their boyfriends not to laugh, because it wasn't laughing, you know, with the guy, it was laughing at him, and it was so embarrassing. Having my 2-drink minimum. And when you walked in the club then, there was this foreign guy with a suitcase. Now, this is before he was Andy Kaufman and famous, so you believe this guy was real. And he'd be fighting with the club owner, Bud Freeman, and begging him, could you please just put me on, please. I come a long way. Just put me on stage. And you'd be hearing this, but it wasn't done very theatrical. And it was always low-key, so people walking in the place. So even though Andy was going to perform that night, he came in 2 hours before his set, and he created this psychodrama that you believe, this prank that could Bud Friedman put him on stage. And every time somebody came on stage, and the early days of the improv were like Jay Leno and Elaine Boozler and Richard Belzer and Richard Lewis, and we were all kids back then. And every time somebody got through performing, way in the back in the other room, you would hear this foreign guy pleading with Bud to put him on stage.
Seriously wounded.
the situation deteriorated quickly in Grenada. And it was a hastily planned, hastily executed operation that had problems, no doubt. It was a chain of command that never exercised together before, much less fought together. What we ran into was more than we expected.
This tendency to accept missions outside of their capabilities reappeared in Operation Just Cause in Panama in 1989. For the SEALs, it ended in a disaster. Four men dead, eight men badly wounded. The shockwave over those casualties still echoes inside the SEAL ranks to this day.
When SEALs go in harm's way and SEALs get hurt, as they would in any small family, everyone feels it because everyone knows everyone else. And when something goes wrong, you want to know why. Because our business is the business of sneaking up and taking care of business and going home, not a business of fighting anybody on a lengthy scale, or definitely not in the business of dying.
There were two SEAL missions in the Panama invasion. The first, to swim across the Panama Canal and destroy two enemy patrol boats. The second, to seize Patilla Airfield, where Manuel Noriega had a jet plane ready for his escape. The original plan called for a SEAL platoon to use snipers to cover the hangar. But that plan was changed, and the SEAL force grew to five times their normal operating size.
The equinox points are those points of kind of spring and fall when we have equal day and equal night. So all of these sacred points on a circle, if we were to look at the cycle of the year as a circle, beginning, say, with the winter solstice, these points of equinox and solstice, these are points at, in addition to transitions of darkness and light, every one of these points, if we were to look at another circle below this first circle, the cycle of the year, this is what the Chinese call the great. Now the great is actually present time. It is this dimension of present time. And what I am saying is that any one of these moments on the cycle of the year, this higher circle, commemorates this point of natural evolution of light and darkness throughout the year. And at the same time, it is a gateway down to present time.
That it was once some.
Hey, Harry, what do you say we take a break? Come on, we'll go to Al's Transbay. I'll buy you a beer, huh? How about that?
No, I want to finish this.
We thought you'd turn those tapes in.
Stay on, be quiet, will you?
Do you think we can do this?
Started drinking anyhow.
What a stupid conversation.
Stan, please, I'm trying to work.
Tired of mostly everything.
Tired of me?
Tired of you. But not today.
What the hell are they talking about, for Christ's sake?
Stanley, please, I'm trying to get this done. Stanley, please, I'm trying to get this done.
Why? Don't get excited.
Well, I'm getting fed up.
idea had been growing in my brain for some time. True force. All the king's men cannot put it back together again.
Finally, Bud would say at the end of the show, ladies and gentlemen, I never do this, but this man just came to town, and don't tell your friends I'm never going to do this again, but I'm going to put him up to close the show. And his name is Andy Kaufman, and Andy would come on stage, and he would do this foreman character, and of course, it was awful.
In fact, I start to wonder if what we have here is really two poems, or three, or four, or possibly none.
One of the days when you got out with $40 in your pocket.
Oh, well, I got out one time with 40, I had, and they'd given me the dress-out shoes. I was trying to get a job, and I remember this very clearly in Los Angeles. It was one of those hot L.A. days, you know, that really gets smoking 100 degrees. And I was walking around, and I had blisters from these shoes, these new cheap shoes that they'd given me, these dress-out shoes. And I'm walking from job application, trying to get a job. And it was so bad that I had blisters on my blisters. And no money, you know, in a little furnished room, and the rent's running out, and the parole officer's on my case.
Ears like we have. It had basically just sort of a little circle around a hole inside of their skull. You know, the ears didn't look like the nose. Kind of looked like basically like ours on it, and the mouth was of course much smaller.
Well, in the film and the photographs released from the abduction / dissection, some people refer to it as dissection. As being exploratory as opposed to a technical autopsy, that you can see small ears on these beings set quite low.
You might call them small ears, but it was one little outcropping, like around, just like you'd have the very small part of your inner ear, you know, just mm-hmm. a little, maybe a half an inch.
Mm-hmm.
Or 3/4 of an inch, like around the ear hole, something like that. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit of almost like a beginning of an ear.
Who the fuck do you think you're talking to?
Who the fuck do you think you're talking to?
Forget the conversation. You don't need it spelled out for you. Just remember it. It's a dialogue now. It's not an ejaculation.
It was very, sometimes it was fun, but opening for rock acts in the early 70s, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Why not?
It was way before comedy was in or even, you know, popular in any regard. You know, comedy sort of didn't start to get this popularity until, I guess, were the 80s. And let's face it, these people took a lot of drugs and went to see, you know, they wanted to hear the loudest music they could hear. And I think there's an old Chinese adage that says 16 sleeping pills does not make for a good comedy audience.
Like I'd like to do Jimmy Carter. Hello, I am Jimmy Carter, President of the United States. Oh, people, you'd sit there in the audience, and women would hit their boyfriends not to laugh, because it wasn't laughing, you know, with the guy, it was laughing at him.
Delegates began to fight for a seat which gave them a good view rather than a poor view of the television set.
Wallpaper for me. I sleep with the radio on. In fact, now I'm incapable of sleeping without the radio on ever since I gave up Nembutal.
Does it affect your dreams?
Sure, insofar as if there are broadcasts on the hour, I will pick up the bulletins and dream them. And in the morning, if there's a boat that's just gone down, I'll think, gee, that was an odd dream about the Titanic I had last night, and I will have, of course, gone through it.
Maybe your feelings about solitude come from your Nordic temperament.
I think that's certainly part of it. It's always been an ambition of mine, which I'll probably never get around to realizing, to spend at least one winter north of the Arctic Circle. Anyone can go there in the summer when the sun is up, but I want to go there when the sun is down. I really do, and so help me, I'm going to do it one of these times. I've been saying this for 5 or 6 years now, and every year the schedule gets in the way.
That last stanza, my favorite. This is where the poem wins me back, especially the line spoken in the voice of the mouse. I mean, we've all seen these images in cartoons before, but I still love the details he uses when he describes where he lives. The perfect little arch of an entrance in the baseboard, the bed made out of a curled back sardine can, the spool of thread for a table. I start thinking about how hard the mouse had to work night after night, collecting all these things, while all the people in the house were fast asleep. And that gives me a very strong feeling, a very powerful sense of something. But I don't know if anyone else was feeling that. Maybe that was just me. Maybe that's just the way I read it.
Planet a couple of months ago and look at the newsstands, you would have seen magazine after magazine after magazine with JFK Jr. on the cover. You know, when there is not a high profile celebrity death to preoccupy people or a criminal trial.
Large, small, large, small, and include the reticular portion of the brain. Large, small, large, small, large, small, normal.
So embarrassing. And just when he got and people are actually going back and telling him, but you should take this, you're going to fry this guy's brains for life. People are laughing at him, and then he'd cry that people were laughing at him. And then finally, after these series of terrible, terrible impressions, he would do Elvis Presley. And wow, he'd blow you away. He was Elvis. Every gesture, every sound, the songs were great, the dancing, the movement was great. But then the strangest thing, at the end of doing Elvis, he'd go back to, thank you very much. And you believed that this was just some foreign guy who had this great Elvis Presley impression down. And then, of course, he'd walk off the stage and you believed it. So it was really quite amazing.
In San Francisco, which nominated Barry Goldwater, had been not quite so orderly as a rodeo. The Democratic convention was cancerous. The electronic machines were more crucial than the men. It was evident that the establishment was in the service of a most subtle and modern tyrant. Thank you.
with the pictures. Why is Pollock great? He's partly great because of all the huge impact that he had on artists, what he generated in terms of creative life and culture. He's partly great because of the destructive force of his art, how many things he blocked in opening up new things. It's a very complicated body of work, and it's both aggressive and destructive and liberating and lyrical.
Sugar lumps, representing or fashioning what could easily be duplicated and fashioning it in a traditionally artistic material like marble.
What? But you're asking me questions all day long.
Jesus!
Don't say that.
For Christ's sake!
Stan, don't say that again, please. Don't use that word in vain. It bothers me. What's the matter, Harry? Your work's getting sloppy.
Later in the week. Sunday, maybe.
Sunday, definitely.
Yeah, the bunk much better track if you pay more attention to the recording, less attention to what they were talking about.
Well, I can't see why a couple of questions about what the hell's going on can get you so out of joint.
Because I can't sit here and explain the personal problems of my clients.
Though he never said it in words, I think that
he was
very strongly pushed towards doing something new, of which he would be the commanding figure. He didn't want to play on anybody else's playing field. He wanted to invent a new set of rules. Bill Rubin, my predecessor, had a wonderful phrase that Pollock invented the form of which he was the virtuoso. That not having been a very good draftsman in line, that he turned out to be incredibly eloquent when he started pouring.
That was one of
his first statement about painting. It's interesting, there are two statements around 47 and 50. And in 47, when he describes what he's doing, he talks about what he likes to do. I like to paint on the floor because I can be in the picture, I can be around it. I like the resistance of a hard surface. I like this, I like that. There's a sense of understanding what he does best, what he feels at ease with in painting. And by 1950, he talks about the paintings in terms of you can't have the same kind of painting for the age of the A-bomb and television and the radio that you had for Renaissance. And he's become self-conscious about the sense of his new style as a kind of cultural expression of an age. But I think at its base, it had something to do with his gut feeling for what felt right in the process. He's somebody who observes himself working. Every mark on the canvas in these so-called improvised pictures is the cue for the next one. And the extraordinary attentiveness of what he calls living in the picture and watching the life of the picture grow in dialogue. It's not like an artist who sets out to say, I'm going to do this, and takes a little drawing and enlarges it. Each picture grows organically, and he lives in it as he works and watches where it wants to go and push it in this other direction. So his sense of dialogue with himself, with what feels right, this internal compass in the gut, is his main, that's his main star to guide by.
I also use sand, broken glass, pebbles, string, nails, or other foreign matter. A method of painting is the natural growth out of a need. I want to express my feelings rather than illustrate them. Technique is just a means of arriving at a statement. When I am painting, I have a general notion as to what I am about.
I can control the flow of the pain. There is no accident, just as there is no beginning and no end. Sometimes I lose a painting. But I have no fear of changes, of destroying the image. Because a painting has a life of its own, I try to let it live.
Step into the rainforest the first time was a revelation, because every few feet there'd be a medicine or a fiber or an essential oil or some sort of useful plant, and it just showed me how with my Western education being turned loose in the rainforest, I was just in a sea of green. But with an indigenous or a semi-indigenous guide, all of a sudden you understand how to use the forest, how these things can benefit us, and it makes you appreciate not only the potential of these species which are being lost, but the importance of the knowledge of these species, which really exists in the heads of the men and women who know the forest best. But the importance of the knowledge of these species, which really exists in the heads of the men and women who know the forest best.
Yeah, it was,
How long were you out?
That time?
Mm-hmm.
About 7 months, 8 months.
What landed you back in?
That time, I think I got caught with a safe in my car, a small safe, in the back of my car, after a long chase, and some checks from another safe burglary.
You pulled a bank heist once, right?
Yeah, I pulled several. But the one that's really funny is the one I got. I had in 72. I had been busted over the drugs, and I got out on bail, and they were following me, expecting me to pick up another load of drugs, and I was going to rob a bank in Beverly Hills and go to flee to Mexico, and I didn't know it, and they had a beeper on my car, a helicopter, and 5 carloads of narcs, and they followed me to a bank right on Wilshire Boulevard, right in the middle of Beverly Hills.
The best seat in your own personal concert hall.
You're listening to Jack the Ripper on 99 Rock.
Well, the story goes that actually Jackson had his doubts, and Lee said, do this, it'll be good for your career. So he had his doubts, but he let Namath into the studio, and we, the survivors, we're so privileged to have these amazing moments, the black and white photographs, because Pollock is painting in most of Namath's black and white photographs, Autumn Rhythm, the picture that's here in the exhibition, one of the greatest paintings he ever painted. That summer in 1950, many people regard as the summit of his career. He was at the height of his productivity, and it was just by chance that that's the moment when Namath captured him on film and captured him in photography. And I think that Pollock thought that this would do his career good. Not very many American painters had been the subject of this kind of treatment, and he'd been in Life magazine the year before. Maybe this was the next logical step. But again, back to an issue we talked about earlier, he had to, inevitably, to satisfy the film, he had to stage or fake his painting process. And one can't but think that his sense of authenticity, his sense of integrity, got eroded or gnawed at by the sense of having to respond to the start and stop directions, having to work on 3 consecutive weekends on the same painting. Something was false and tricked about the process.
Thank you very much, Mr. Moore.
thank you for the interview yesterday. I would just like some further clarification, if I may. That's good. Where am I? Okay, here we are. Now, if it's really true that you attach little importance to the actual technique of playing the piano, how is it that you have managed to attain such a level of skill in it? Well, that is to say, don't you think it's depressing for all the young pianists of the world to know this?
Glenn Gould, Glenn Gould, Glenn Gould. Glenn Gould, I really want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for arranging for me to have this chance to interview you finally. And before we begin the interview, I also want to give you a great big thank you on behalf of all of our readers.
Well, these are tough questions. They're going to come up. People are going to watch the play, and they're going to ask me.
Thank you on behalf of all of our...
Glenn Gould is apparently incredibly interested in technology, but really, wasn't technology just a reason or a way for him to keep the world at arm's length? It's just a big smokescreen, isn't it?
Let me ask you this. What is Glenn Gould really like when he's not in the studio? Let me ask you this. What is Glenn Gould really like when he's not in the studio? I mean, what do you like to do when you're outside of a recording booth? What kind of lifestyle do you lead?
Mr. Gould, you are a perfectionist when it comes to recording. So why is it that when you are recording, you place little importance on whether you have a piano with noisy works or a chair that squeaks? Why, when you seem obsessed with this idea of musical perfection, do you hum as you play? When you seem obsessed with this idea of musical perfection,
I forgot the question.
I mean, what aspect of your life has nothing to do with anything that has to do with classical musical music?
Years ago, you said that you were going to leave the public performance because you want to compose. And we've waited, and the years have passed, and there's no body of work, I mean, musically speaking. And people are waiting, and how do you feel about all that?
Would you teach me piano?
What about children? I mean, have you thought about that? What do you look for in a woman? Or maybe I should just say... What are you waiting for?
One more question, if I may, out of curiosity. Why do you insist on conducting interviews by phone?
Monsieur Gould, vous avez affirmé qu'il y a dans notre culture des forces économiques et sociales qui sont à l'œuvre et qui ont déjà rendu caduques les salles de concert. Vous anticipiez d'ailleurs la disparition de ces salles autour de l'an 2000. En quoi cet énoncé permet-il de jeter un nouveau regard? Vous anticipiez d'ailleurs la disparition de ces salles autour de l'an 2000. En quoi cet énoncé permet-il de jeter d'ailleurs la disparition de ces salles autour de l'an 2000? En quoi cet énoncé permet-il de jeter un nouveau regard sur la mécanique d'ailleurs la disparition des salles et sur l'asservissement de l'artiste? En quoi cet énoncé
Hey!
successful.
The ideal SEAL strategy is to win without fighting a pitched battle, accomplishing the most destruction with the minimal amount of effort. Their attack relies on intense violence and the impact of shock force to create a temporary appearance of superior strength. In any fight, it is essential that they first stun their target with an all-out fury, then quickly fade away in the confusion.
Things too. Kids tied up and with marks on them and things.
I dug through it trash and found different things. At one time, I'd thought it was dog remains. Later on, after the investigation, the police come in 3 years later, I found out that this is the way they said Bob disposed of some of the waste of the human remain. He put them in dog food bags and set them out in the trash.
When James first disappeared, even, we begged him to do something to go in Burdella's house to get a search warrant for any reason to try to find my son in there, because it had been told to us that he was possibly chained up in the house in there.
Well, the dramatic story is that in the late 40s, Pollock had found a doctor who got him off the bottle, and he stayed away from alcohol for about 2 years, up to and including this great summer when he was painting his biggest and most exuberant pictures. And when Namath did the film, the last day of shooting was a cold day in November, just after Thanksgiving and just before the big exhibition of the drip paintings at Betty Parsons. And they were all cold, they were out shooting, Namath was shooting through a piece of glass with Pollock painting on it, and when they finally took the last cut, Pollock walked straight in the house, walked straight to the liquor cabinet, pulled out a bottle of booze, and began drinking. And in some sense, he never stopped drinking between then and his death in 1956. So many people have felt that the pressures of the filming and the photography were one of the contributing factors that drove him over the edge.
Miserable because something good, some good work I had made, something I'd worked hard to do, that something was gone and there was no getting it back. Now I want you to know this too, because if you stay with me in this, you'll see there's some meaning along here somewhere. I'm not any hero or anything, nothing like that. But what happened was this. That lady told me what she did, and like any man, I squawked loud enough. Loud enough to show for sure I wasn't some hero or something. What I mean is, like any guy losing a thing he prizes, my cheeks did hang down a bit. And what you want to do at a time like that is you want to say, well, okay, everybody, you listening, everybody? Because Bill's had it. Yes, sir, he's had it. You listening, world? You done a bad thing to me, world, and by Godfrey, that's it. I've had it, you hear? Well, sir, I got that bit of awful news about an hour ago. And up until about 15 minutes from now, you could have heard me whining if you were standing next door. But the plain fact is, you can hear me right this minute, and right this minute I'm doing the same job over. Right this minute I'm doing work I did, doing work I'd thought I'd put behind me, doing work I thought was done, and living with the notion that what was done and lost through no fault of mine, is lost and gone forever. Now I'm no hero or anything, not that kind of man at all. Just a pretty usual kind of guy doing his job and trying to get by just like the next one. But what I figure is this. What I figure is there is some little bit of hero in me, some little bit of hero in a whole lot of usual men who get up when there's been good reasons to stay down, who get up and go on in after it again. What I mean is, there's a lot of men I know, they lost like that. Lost things like the good work they've done that can't be brought back. Lost things like jobs when the losing of those jobs was hard.
He barely painted two pictures in 55 and 56. The last coherent body of work really was the black paintings of 1951, and after that each picture was like a new exploration in a different direction, and no picture ever gave him the momentum to do the same thing again in another picture. To Pollock's credit, after this emotional crisis around January of 51, he didn't go back and repeat himself. He just produced some of the most commanding pictures of his career, and he could have kept selling drip pictures. But he didn't want to. He didn't feel that's where he wanted to go. He wanted to turn in another direction, and he could never find the other direction.
Dare to dream, really do. death of JFK Jr. gets tons of coverage. It got a lot of coverage. I mean, there's no end of coverage. We're drowning in coverage. The question is, how much of it matters? How many real differences of opinion do we hear aired? I mean, how broad is the spectrum of debate? Is there any real debate? How much of the news now is just inanity upon inanity? You know, the American people have made pretty clear that the coverage of Monica Gate marked a new low in American journalism. And several people have pointed out there is a relationship between the kind of journalism we have now and the rise of these enormous interests and the need of 24-hour cable news operations.
Movie houses became temples of the new Hollywood religion.
Whatever the latest thing
Jewish values
be.
Made kids.
I mean, you would drop down
75% of all Americans went to the movies at least once a week.
Magazine after magazine.
This kind of movie going was religious because it had to do with worship.
When there is
it had to do with the screen being larger than you were, and you being in awe of what you were looking at,
magazine after magazine,
and feeling a certain reverence for it.
No, I mean, it's
and so there was, maybe you could say, a bogus spirituality, but it was a spirituality still that was believed in.
More diverse, and I don't think the number of outlets. The mere number of outlets.
The single most important thing I think you learn when you look at the drip
the amount of money
they worked
on make
for say,
on
3 or 4 years. When you get that group together in the show, you see the tremendous variety in those paintings: variety of scale, variety of speed, variety of palette, variety of line quality and paint. He was in control of a very broad palette of possibilities. It's not one method. It's not one method even within one canvas. And the more we look at the pictures, the more incredibly complex and sophisticated we see they are in the way that they were built up. He often would work one section, stand back, look at it, sometimes hang the picture up for a week or two before he would go back down. We have the impression in a popular sense that he just threw it all out. But the Namath video already shows how balletic and controlled the repetitive motions were, how very much of a fine-tuned sense of athleticism went into the way the paint was laid down, the distance from the canvas, the speed that he worked at, the speed that he reflected at and thought. These pictures are built organically out of a whole variety of willful decisions. One of the things that's often said about Pollock's paintings is that they have what would fashionably today be called a fractal quality, in the sense that the organization of the microcosm is very similar to the organization of the macrocosm, that each inch of it has an enormous variety and complexity that in some ways is a small preview for the complexity of the whole. And one of the things that's important about Pollock's paintings that you don't get at all from reproduction is the seamlessness but from which you move from a sense of the organic interrelatedness of the whole web and then plunge into an inexhaustible variety of minor tight incidents, pixelated, small, delicate, so that the whole picture may have this thumping, epic quality, but when you get down to it, it's entirely, incredibly refined and pointless.
I know. We left the concert platform. It's been talked about. It's been explained. All the reasons. But when you think about it, on the day that it happened, it was about fear, wasn't it?
Enfin, alors que vous concevez ce nouvel ordre culturel comme un affranchissement de l'artiste, il apparaît plutôt de mon point de vue que cette vision encourage une techno-hégémonie et l'exploitation de l'artiste par des mégastructures capitalistes.
Well, we're trying to protect the little artist's rights. Do you agree with that?
Well, the lawyers in the music industry have skewed the business to work beneficially for them and not for the artists. So there's a lot of hypocrisy when the record companies start to say they're looking out for you.
More and more of an economic liability. But that you foresee this problem rectifying itself by the year 2000. Why?
our stance was that we'll take any radical approach to get music to the fans.
Are you homosexual?
My whole thing is using Public Enemy to set us a new standard.
We started this conversation anyhow.
You did.
Didn't learn.
Yes, you did. You just don't remember.